Being in a bad marriage or relationship can make your life miserable, but staying in a bad marriage or relationship should be unacceptable. Getting out and moving on may seem impossible, but it doesn't have to be. Welcome to Start Over, Find Happiness with Lindsay Ellison. Each episode, Lindsay offers guidance and inspiration on how to navigate your uncertain relationships. Whether you're newly divorced, single, or somewhere in between, Lindsay and her wealth of experts guide you through all the pain points. Learn about divorce, breaking up, how to love yourself and find love again, and Lindsay's own journey of divorce and rediscovery that has inspired millions of women around the world. This is Start Over, Find Happiness with Lindsay Ellison on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Start Over, Find Happiness. So happy to be here with you this week, as I always am. I hope you all are doing fantastic. Well, this week, I have a really great guest for you guys. And before I bring her on to the phone, I want to just kind of set the tone a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today. When we are all going through a life transition, we often get so stuck into the why. Why me? Why did this happen? How could this have been done to me? And it really, we don't even know it. We often just get into this real victim mentality, a victim mindset. I've been there. I know it. I still go there sometimes. And it really takes a lot of practice and a lot of mentorship to really make sure that you don't get stuck into that place. Because when you get stuck, you're not moving anywhere. There's nothing worse than feeling the feeling of being stuck. And I know now, having gone through all of the events in my life, and you all have heard so much of my story, but every single event that I've had, it was there to teach me a lesson. And it's something that I always share with everyone and guide people to truly understand why they had to meet this awful person in order to teach them something. And at first, a lot of people don't even want to hear about it. They don't even want to, they're like, Lindsay, stop it. I don't really want to hear that right now. I just want to talk about how bad it is. But really, if you stop talking about how bad it is and you go and really try to understand the message behind all of it, there's so much growth to have and peace that follows. And so I'm going to share with you a fabulous friend, mentor, extraordinary person today who is going to be talking about what she calls the shadow of self. And she's phenomenal. And the reason why she is so phenomenal is because, first of all, she has been my mentor for the past, I don't know, couple years. She's been my business coach, my life coach in many respects. She's been a friend. And she's probably one of the greatest people I've ever worked with, truthfully. And so with this amazing introduction, I'd love to welcome Helen McMillan. Hi, Helen. How are you?
Hi, Lindsay. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
So Helen McMillan is she calls herself a success coach, and she's an author and an international speaker who helps women entrepreneurs shift into their $1 million zone of joyful and sustainable success. Now, just because we talked about $1 million zone does not always mean a financial $1 million zone. It's about how you feel, if you feel like $1 million. So Helen, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm good.
So, and I love your laugh. You're so cute. Helen, talk to me about, you know, you heard my introduction a little bit. Mm-hmm. And if I can share that you've also, you've been divorced, but you are happily remarried, and you've been married for a long time. How many years have you been married now?
We just celebrated oh my gosh, 19 years in July.
19 years.
This past July. Mm-hmm.
So Helen is a native of divorce, but also a real person who, you know, exemplifies success and starting over. And I love working with people who've been there and done that and who can kind of show people the path. So she's a fantastic guest, and I hope you all are listening. So we were talking about the shadow of self and the issue that we all have when we go into this why me phase, right? Yes. That, ugh, and it's so hard to get out of that. And, you know, what, I'm sure you see that all the time in your coaching practice, right? Oh, I bet yeah. a lot of people come to you with the why me.
Oh, yeah. And I'm very intimate with it myself. Been there, done that. And yes, it does visit occasionally still, you know, not as much as it used to, but yes. And so really and truly, I tell people all the time, I just share and teach what I've learned in my own journey, you know, and my journey and working with hundreds and probably at this point thousands of people, not just entrepreneurs, because I had a healing practice for in a healing center for a long time. And so, you know, I work with people holistically, right? Mind, body, and soul. And so I like to talk about relationships as a path of soul growth because, you know, I don't know about you, but certainly at some point, you know, even in my second marriage, I kind of was somewhere in about the first year, I went, oh my God, I've married the same person again.
Yes.
I'm like, wait a minute. I tried really hard not to repeat this pattern. And then somewhere along the road, I had to start taking responsibility and going, oh, wait a minute. The only recurring decimal here is me. So it's in this path of really seeking. I talk about what I call the path to true freedom, right? Which is really just the liberation of the self. And everything that we're seeking, a part of it is that we have to go through this journey. I know, like, for many of us, when we are going through a divorce or you're in a relationship. Relationships go through their own dark nights of the soul too, right? Because it's this,
definitely
it's this process of growth, right? So, but unfortunately, we've been taught to think about pain as a bad thing, right? Mm. Whether it's physical pain or emotional pain, it's like, oh, that's a bad thing, and we want to avoid it. But if you look back, and you know, with wisdom, it teaches you that the greatest growth opportunities come with pain, with the greatest pain. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but if we don't have someone kind of guiding us or teaching us or showing us a different way to approach it, it's hard to see it that way.
So yes.
What I've learned is that for example, what shows up as, oh my God, I've married the same person again, is not really, you haven't married the same person again, but the issues may come up again because they want to be resolved. They want to be resolved. And so one of the things that comes out of that is confronting what I call the shadow, right? The shadow self or the shadow personality are the parts of ourselves that we have been taught are not acceptable in some way or are downright bad, right? And so, for example, most families go, it's not good to lie. You don't want to be a liar. You don't want to be a thief. You don't want to be a whore, right? So there are certain things and traits that we are taught and so are bad. And so we repress them. We hide them. We don't want to show up that way. And so they're forced to be put into what we call the shadow. So I say we put them in the dungeon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and try not to bring them out. So, but unfortunately, we are on this journey of life of healing means a return to the whole, right? If I've been taught that a part of myself is not good, I automatically want to distance myself from that part of myself. So it creates a fragmented person. Right. But all of us just wants to come home. We just want to be accepted and loved. Right. And so there's a part of me that I'm not accepting and I'm not loving it, it wants to be loved and accepted. So it's going to show up in what I call the mirror. right? Which is the mirror of life, the relationships that we attract, the people that we attract, the situations that we attract. Because the only way we can see ourselves is in a mirror, right?
True. So very true.
Here comes, you know, Joe, right? And the Joe and you know, you all get together and it's great, right? And there's very things that attract you that end up pissing you off later on.
Always.
And that's because they're there to be resolved, to it's an invitation, it's an opportunity. And if we could just even start there by asking the question, what opportunity, how is this here to serve me? That'll make a big, big difference.
Right. Okay. So, and I completely agree with you. But being that I have personally worked with you, I'm going to give an example, just as though I hear from my own clients, right? And when I remember you saying that to me, and for whatever issue I was going through, I didn't want to hear it. I mean, I really didn't. You know, I really was just like, oh, if one more person says that to me, I'm going to scream.
Yeah.
And especially, I think the toughest thing, the hardest thing to digest when you're in that place is when you really keep trying. Like you're trying, or, you know, you're working on a course, or you're working on this divorce, or you're working on fixing the house, and nothing is working, and it just continues to backfire in your face, and it's very difficult. Really quick, and we have to go to our break soon. How do you respond to that?
Well, the thing about trying is failing with honor.
Love it.
You either do something or you don't do it, right? And if you do your best at any given time, and if at sometimes your best is that you just need to scream it out.
You need to scream it out. Yes, and I, you know, and we're coming on our break. I want to actually talk about how you do that, because that's I've seen you, I've witnessed you do that, and you've made me do that. But we'll circle back as to what the shadow means and what this pain, and even in our darkest moments, how can we discover what that message? What is that one thing we're trying to learn? Stay with us. Right back.
Start over. Find happiness. We'll be right back on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Looking for Lindsay's guidance? Check out Lindsay's popular group coaching program, Thrive, which teaches you exactly how to start over and find happiness after a divorce or breakup. Check out thrive.lindsayellison.com. That's thrive.lindsayellison.com. We'll be right back. Through decades of study, research, training, and personal experience, Kimberly Rinaldi has found that the answers always exist within. Explore the realm of consciousness, the unconscious mind, creative consciousness, and higher consciousness. Apply the tools you'll take away from these conversations and watch your life begin to unfold in ways that will make you believe in magic if you didn't already. Mind Science and Metaphysics, Mondays 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
It's words you never heard.
Recently, while my family was skiing in Colorado, we were greeted by a red fox that darted out of the trees. This beautiful animal with his big bushy tail just stood in the snow and stared right at us. Maybe he smelled all the loverwort we had in our pockets. Loverwort is another word for junk and snack food. Typically, a red fox eats scrub and woodland, but this one appeared to have had his share of hamburgers and hot dogs from the chalet grill. Foxes are similar to dogs, except they are not pack animals. The female fox, or vixen, typically gives birth to a litter of 2 to 12 pups. When they are young, they all live together as a family, known as a leash of foxes. Once grown, the young foxes leave the burrow and go out to live on their own.
It's words you never heard.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Welcome back to the show. Thinking about exiting a toxic marriage or relationship and starting over? Join Lindsay at BreakFreeFromYourNarcissist.com, a life-changing online course for anyone trapped in an unhealthy marriage or relationship that has been widely featured on websites such as Huffington Post and DivorcedMoms.com. Let's return to start over, find happiness on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. So right before the break, we were just talking about that moment when nothing goes right. And I hate that feeling when you're trying. And what did you say? You said trying is like failing with honor.
Trying is failing with honor.
Is failing with honor.
Yeah. It's interesting. Trying is not succeeding, is it?
No.
No, trying is a lesson in frustration, right? So when you've been trying something and you're not succeeding, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results.
Yes.
So yes. If you're trying and you're trying and you're not getting success, you need to tweak something. You need to change something. And sometimes it's to stop trying and to try and do it differently, or just step back for a moment and take a breath and ask. And I love asking. We have so much hidden help, right? Unseen help, right? We all have, you know, some people, whether they believe it or not, we do have forces and guardian angels and spirit guides and people around us who are here supporting us, whether you believe in it or not.
I agree. And I've been through, you know, just especially the early stages of my coaching practice, there were, you know, lots of trial and error. And I remember I was getting my first course up and running, and I worked hard and tried, and like everything just kept failing because I was trying. I was like, the more I tried, the more web things happened or technology started to fail on me for no reason. And I remember just thinking, maybe I'm not meant to do this. Maybe, you know, just that giving up phase of I'm not meant to do this. And I remember just needing to take, like you said, just take a step back and not try so hard and just ask, what am I supposed to learn from this? What am I missing? And I remember having to I didn't touch it for 2 or 3 days, and then it just came to me. Yep. And after weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of working with these one people that wasn't helping me out, they went away. And then within the next few days, I found an amazing person who ended up launching it in 2 days after all of that. And that person is still in my life. She's my fabulous assistant. So she was there for me. And had I was trying so hard, perhaps if I wasn't trying so hard, she could have come into my life earlier. Yeah. And I think that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. And, you know, there's something about the energy of struggle and pushing. And so many of us have been conditioned to believe that that's the way to succeed, right? That you've got to try hard and you have to push and you have to push. But there's an energy of, if we think about what's driving this, we can sometimes get frantic. And the energy behind that is a belief that, a fear, we're not going to succeed. We're not going to make it. It's not going to happen. Right. And then that makes us try harder. But it's the underlying you're come from, as I always say. Where are you coming from? And sometimes you just step back and take a breath. You get out of this pushing. And then it's almost like the ship rights itself, and the unseen forces, the universe, gets to kind of just show you a different way. Right. So,
yeah. And one of the things I want to kind of give an example of, and it's just been happening a lot lately with my clients. And I always find energetically what one client might be going through is exactly what somebody else is going through. Do you ever notice that?
Oh, absolutely.
Like this theme of the same issue that always blows me away, but that's a whole other conversation, but it really does blow. It really blows me away. And I'm going to just, what's happening over the past couple weeks is many of my clients are newly separated, newly divorced, going through it still, you know, somewhere it's still very fresh, and they're trying to move on. Mm-hmm. Hence the word trying. They're trying to move on, trying to not
get so bothered by every rub, every text message that this person sends to my client, or, you know, they think that the case is really going well and then it's not. And so what I'm constantly hearing lately is, Lindsay, I'm trying to do everything you're saying, but then I get that text message or I get a nasty email from his attorney and it totally sets me back. Mm-hmm. And it makes them feel so powerless, as if obviously they're giving their power away when that happens. Mm-hmm. But how, I have my own way of saying why that's happening. I'd love to kind of hear your input as to when you're just in this place of coping, mm-hmm. and you just continue to get shit on over and over.
Yeah.
Why do you think?
Well, I think first of all, the perspective is a heck of a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the, I love it. I think it was Wayne Dyer who used to say, you know, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And quantum physics actually explains why that is. Like literally by observing matter, and everything is matter, right? But observing a situation, a person, or whatever, the attitude, the glasses, the lens through which you're looking at it determine your experience of it, right? And even how you shape it. So even saying, you know, what is your approach and will determine what kind of response and reaction you get. So part of the problem is that when you're in a situation that's not harmonious, which is usually where we are. I'll just say this, there are peaceful divorces, right? Mm-hmm. I help people with that all the time. They come in with the intention. They're like, we're separating, but here's what I want to do it with ease and grace. Right. And they do the inner work so that that happens. Right. But when it's because of where you're vibrating, and like energy attracts like energy. So mm-hmm. if you're all huffed up and pissed off and easily distractible or already angry, it's easier. It's more likely you're going to attract more of that. It's a universal law. Okay. Law of attraction.
Yes.
But let's just say you've risen above and you've worked and hard and you're like, yay, I'm in this place and I'm going to take the high road. And then the lawyer sends that thing that triggers you, right? In my world, triggering is actually a good thing. It's an opportunity. How do you know where you're at and what's happening within you if something doesn't shake you up? Okay.
Right.
So that the opportunity right there is to see, well, how much of my anger have I really released? Right? How grounded am I really? How much am I standing strongly in myself? Right? If you're standing powerfully and groundedly in yourself, and somebody can come shake you, that's a gift to tell you that you need to shore up your foundation. You're not as grounded as you thought you were. And that's okay.
And that's the shadow, right? Oh. That's what you're saying.
Well, the shadow, yeah, in that, that's just an opportunity. But so okay. The shadow can be, how the shadow usually shows up is this. It's the people that piss you off, that annoy you, sometimes for no good reason. You ever met somebody and you just like, ugh, I don't know what it is. I just don't like that person. Right? I don't know what it is. Or that person just annoys the crap out of me. Sometimes they don't even have to say a word.
Yeah.
So it could be that they remind you of somebody, right? From that you have issues with that are, you know, you're being invited to resolve. So it brings it up to the surface in you. And it could be that there's a part of you. So this is where like your inner judge, your inner critic is really, or your negative Nelly, as I call her, is really useful. It's real because you identify what is it about this person that is annoying me, right? So you might go, you might say something like, ugh, she thinks so much of herself, you know, she's boastful or she's whatever it may be.
Yes.
Right?
I can think of someone right now.
Exactly.
This is
good. And then you can say to yourself, okay, where am I doing that myself?
Mm-hmm.
Or, right? Because here's the thing. Is there a time where, you know, I mean, most of us have been taught a lot of us, I shouldn't say most, have been taught being boastful is not a good thing, right? Would that
right.
be you, right? So,
yeah.
But is there a time when, what's the difference between being boastful, quote unquote, and then blowing your own trumpet or speaking up about your gifts and your talents and your abilities?
Right. Yes.
It's all perspective, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that is an opportunity. That person, when you explore it, then you have an opportunity to accept that part of you, see how that part of you can serve you, like being boastful, being assured and speaking up about your gifts and talents and abilities, and then accept that part of you. And you know what happens? Magic.
Yes.
Because when you do, all of a sudden, that person doesn't annoy you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got the gift.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. I'll use the example of that time when we were working together, you and I, about I think I've always had that inner critic of how I grew up. It was not an inner critic. It was not me doing it. But the people around me was always like, don't ever be on stage, Lindsay. Don't overshout, don't outshow yourself. Give everybody some time to speak. Stop trying to be in the spotlight. And so I remember when I was working on kind of social media, and I was really being pushed by my social media person to do more videos and really talk about how great I am. Mm-hmm. And I really struggled with that. I still struggle. I'm getting way better. But I remember you saying that to me of once it becomes easier to just kind of confidently say your talents, things shift. And it really does. Do you remember that?
Oh,
that
yeah. When that happened? I do. And it was impacting your ability to step into the spotlight, which is where you are meant to serve, right? Where you can reach more people.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that made you develop this little thing that kept holding you back. And so you couldn't fully step out and shine and connect. And it happens to all of us in all kinds of hidden ways. So,
yeah. And what that did is it showed me, especially, so if I were to see someone on TV or doing so well at that, those are the people that would annoy me, to your point,
yes.
Because I couldn't really be able to do that myself, or how are they doing it not feeling guilty and blah, blah, blah. It's just like a laundry list of things that go off in your head of what's super happening behind the scenes in your brain.
Yes.
Well, we're coming up to our next break, and we'll talk more about some of the liberation of the self. I'm really happy to have you here. Stay with us.
Start Over, Find Happiness will be right back on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Looking for Lindsay's guidance? Check out Lindsay's popular group coaching program, Thrive, which teaches you exactly how to start over and find happiness after a divorce or breakup. Check out thrive.lindsayellison.com. That's thrive.lindsayellison.com. We'll be right back. Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. And now every week she's here to share her knowledge with you. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, the sky is never the limit. As a matter of fact, there is no limit. Tune in to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Brain Lady Anderson, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Are you ready to go beyond happy and to live joyfully? Tune in to Lessons in Joyful Living with Kimberly Rinaldi. Kimberly believes in empowering others and that through it, you have the ability to break through any and all barriers. Each week, Kimberly shares from decades of combined experience to help you go past happy and get to joyful living. To truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance and know that it's calling for each and every one of us. Lessons in Joyful Living, Tuesdays 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Welcome back to the show. Thinking about exiting a toxic marriage or relationship and starting over? Join Lindsay at BreakFreeFromYourNarcissist.com, a life-changing online course for anyone trapped in an unhealthy marriage or relationship that has been widely featured on websites such as Huffington Post and DivorcedMoms.com. Let's return to Start Over, Find Happiness on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Welcome back. I love that new, those new tunes. It makes me feel so energized. Got some new music track on that. Love it. All right. So over the break, Helen and I were kind of chatting more about this shadow self. What were you saying, Helen, that you wanted to kind of also highlight?
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the light shadow because, you know, most people are, a lot of people aren't familiar with the shadow, but if they have, they're familiar with the dark shadow, right? The parts of us that we've been taught to reject and not to show up as. And they're the negative sides, right? The things we don't want to be. But we also have a light shadow. And that is, so for example, when you, and those are the things that you really want to be, those are your gifts and talents and abilities that you haven't owned for whatever reason, right? So in your case, you know, it was, that's part of it as well, right? It's like, don't shine too bright. you'll make other people feel badly, right?
Yes.
But you sit down there and you sit in the audience. That's you. For, I'll give you an example from my own life. So for many years, when I was young, I had an experience when we go to high school, they would bring in us four at a time, the new seventh graders, we call it first form, and they'd have us sing Do Re Mi Fa So La Ti, you know, and audition for the school choir, and I loved to sing, right? And he brought in the four of us and he said Do Re Mi Fa So La Ti, and we sang, and he went next. He didn't say another word. We just weren't chosen. So I assumed I couldn't sing. So I stopped singing. I became a shower singer, actually. And I'd only sing in shower. I assumed I had a bad voice. And it was so interesting. So I would go as an adult, you know, adolescent, older adult, into adult, well into adulthood, you know, every time I'd go to a wedding or to church and they would sing or to a funeral, every time there was a soloist or something, I would burst into tears. I would be like, I couldn't help myself. But it was my soul longing for that.
Yes.
And so many times it was my light. I was looking at my light shadow, but there was a part of me that had believed that I couldn't be that. And yet there's my, so the tears and all that longing was my soul saying, no, you're meant to do that. Because one of the things I do in my work is I use, as you know, is I sing, I use toning, because my voice carries healing tones. It's also why I'm a speaker. So these are, that's another aspect, the things that are drawing you that you know you're attracted to. Pay attention to that as well as the things that repel you, because both of them have gifts for you.
Yes, and it's interesting that I don't think I do that much. Who knows? Maybe I do. But I know I've done a lot of progress, and I would often do the stuff that repels me.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. You know, there's a something that we do in our industry that everyone was doing. Everyone was doing it, and I never really wanted to do it. And I kept doing it over and over with like horrible results. And I remember talking to you about it. You're like, well, why are you doing it? I'm like, well, because everyone else is doing it. And you said to me, do you like it? I said, no, I hate it. She said, you said, so stop doing it. And so I did. And it was just like so liberating. Mm-hmm. And I think what I was doing was really doing what repelled me because I was too scared to do what I really wanted to do.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what we do that all the time. All of us, we do that all the time. And without kind of talking about it and thinking about it, it really can go unnoticed. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, my entire, I started off in journalism. I went to school for journalism. I wrote, I was the editor-in-chief of my newspaper. I mean, talk about passion. I was fully centered and alignment with what it is that I wanted to do at the time. Mm-hmm. And I graduated college and I went into marketing. Mm-hmm. And as well, I did well and I got writing awards. I tried to find some jobs, but the moment I kept saying I got a few rejections, which by the way, journalism industry is a highly rejecting type of industry. Mm-hmm. Once I started getting rejected, I just assumed that I'm not good enough for this in the professional world. Mm. And I went into a field for 20 years, 20 years I did marketing and advertising, and a part of me liked it, but a part of me, a huge part of me didn't. So mm-hmm. I did something, and I think we could do this with relationships. We could mm-hmm. marry the wrong person, even though we know they're wrong.
Oh, and how many of us stay there, right? Because, you know, it's what we told we're supposed to do. You know, if you're very religious and, you know, yes. depending, you know, a lot of times it's like, well, you know, it's God's will. Well, here's the thing I learned, that God's will and my will, like, God doesn't want me to sacrifice and struggle and suffer. That's yes. that's my perspective, right? And the thing is, though, that struggling is also, again, a perspective. Right. And when you change the way I've seen, and I've done this in my second marriage, we have transformed our relationship. We almost got divorced in year 2 and again in year 7. And in year 7, it was like literally year 2. It was because we had a young baby and none of us wanted to none of us wanted to give up the baby. So, you know, we were committed to the relationship. So, and I always tell people, you know, you can be, but you have to have something to work with. I had a good man working with. But the relationship also is an opportunity to resolve a lot of our challenges and to grow. Right. It's about, you know, who are you willing to be? So if you step into your power, you can step into your power in a relationship and the relationship can grow. You can step into your power and as a result, step out of the relationship because, you know, it's not. So, for example, in the case of a lot of your listeners, if you're in a relationship with a narcissist yeah. who is unwilling to shift and change, right, and even is unable to even recognize, then the most powerful thing you could do is step out. And yeah. you're in finding your power to do that. But in the meantime, you know, you've got to heal the thing that caused you to be attracted to that relationship in the first place.
Yes. Amen. Right? That's what I say all the time.
Right. And so
well said.
It's because otherwise it's like leaving money on the table. Because yeah. there was a purpose in you attracting that situation. There was something in you that is asking to be embraced, to be healed, right? And in the process of doing that, that's how you don't attract it again.
Yes. And I'm the perfect example of that, that I exited the marriage, and that void that I carried when I entered into that relationship, I thought he was the solution or the source to the void, mm-hmm. Making me feel whole again. Realizing that I wasn't, and for 100 other reasons, the relationship didn't work. But that healing still needed to happen. So what did I do? I met somebody else just as bad, if not worse. Mm-hmm. And then I really had to listen. And I almost felt as though it was God kind of hitting me over the head saying, I am trying to teach you something. And because you're not listening, I'm going to send you somebody worse just so you can really get the picture. And I did finally. I did, because I think we, you know, and you and I are both very spiritual people. I think the lessons are always there. We just refuse to listen to it. And so we often have to run into very difficult circumstances. As you eloquently said, it's a mirror. And sometimes we won't look in that mirror.
Yes.
Even though it's sitting right there, we won't look at it.
Well, it's painful because we have so much judgment around how we've been taught to look at it. Right? It's like, oh my God, how many times do we look in the mirror and the first thing we notice is, you know, that pimple or the fact that we're having a bad hair day or the double yeah. chin, right? Instead of looking and finding and noticing the beauty in your eyes or that you've got great skin, you know, something, right? It's the way the mind has been taught to think, to notice what's wrong so we can fix it. Right.
Yeah.
This is not about blaming and judging ourselves, or it's about releasing the judgment. And from a, you know, different perspective even, you know, the way we think of that when a situation presents itself again, we're like, oh God, you know, God is punishing me or I'm being yes. punished. No, if someone has a beautiful gift for you, right? And they send it with a UPS man. And the UPS man comes to your door and knocks and you're not home. They're going to keep coming back. Because they were giving a gift to give you, right? So what if we were to view it that way and be like, if you find yourself in a situation going, oh, my God, I must be really messed up, or, you know, I don't deserve it. That's why I keep, you know, getting crap. What if you were to look at it that, okay, there's something here. There's something more for me to understand or me to see or me to receive. What if we were to look at it that way and then open and say, okay, what is it? Let me just get, I know for me now, I'm just kind of like, all right, let me get this so I don't have to, I don't want any more of these t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, if we change our perspective, the way we respond to it will be very different. If we think something is bad and negative, it's automatic that we're going to resist or brace for it.
Yes.
Or push against it, right?
I think you mentioned a really good word. I love where you're going there, because I was in my mind wanting to go there and you went there. So good. We're in sync. Really, the act of receiving is something that I think, or know, I mean, quantum physics, you mentioned that, is really what prevents the gifts from being sent to you. If you're not willing to open the door, then the UPS comes in, he's never going to give you that package.
Exactly.
And receiving is, a lot of the times, people who are thinking positively, where I'm trying, I'm working on this, I have gratitude, I feel good, and they're doing all the steps that they've read and heard and been told what to do. Mm-hmm. I think the hardest part, and the part that really kind of ties it all together, is the receiving aspect. And if you can't receive, it won't happen. And let's talk about that for a second, because I think that word confuses people as much as it's a simple word.
Yeah.
What's your definition of receiving? We have about 1 minute until we go into the break, and then we can come back to that.
Receiving is, for me, is quite simple. It's about opening all the way, you know, opening to take in. Okay, so we can open a door 10% or a pipe, you know, you can open 10%, 20%, 50%, 75%, 100%. So a lot of us think that we're open 100%, but we're not, because of something that's in what I call the blind spot. So
the blind spot.
Yeah, that might be something good for us to.
Oh, let's talk about that when we come back. I love that. Yeah. Hey, everyone, before our break, I want to remind you that my Thrive program is doing just that. It's thriving, and it's starting right now in October. All of our calls are coming back. We took a summer break. We're coming back to Thrive, and lots of new stuff. So I have mentioned it before. I would love for you guys to go to thrive.lindsayellison.com. It's on my website as well. Would love to have you sign up. Next week is our first call. Stay with us.
Joyful Living Radio Network. Looking for Lindsay's guidance? Check out Lindsay's popular group coaching program, Thrive, which teaches you exactly how to start over and find happiness after a divorce or breakup. Check out thrive.lindsayellison.com. That's thrive.lindsayellison.com. We'll be right back. From quantum physics to metaphysics, cryptozoology to conspiracy theory, energy healing to angels, on Into the Light Paranormal Radio, we're here to tell you that just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean it's not real. Each episode, Kitty Janice, Kimberly Rinaldi, and their guests have one goal, and that's to bring another conversation and another bit of consciousness into the light. Into the Light Paranormal Radio, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. And now, every week, she's here to share her knowledge with you. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, the sky is never the limit. As a matter of fact, there is no limit. Tune in to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Brain Lady Anderson, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Welcome back to the show. Thinking about exiting a toxic marriage or relationship and starting over? Join Lindsay at BreakFreeFromYourNarcissist.com, a life-changing online course for anyone trapped in an unhealthy marriage or relationship that has been widely featured on websites such as Huffington Post and DivorcedMoms.com. Let's return to Start Over, Find Happiness on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. So we've been talking about receiving right before we went to the break, and that it is a simple word, but a very difficult thing for many people to do. I will say I am one of those people receiving, and the reason why, and I think if you have been taught to be a people pleaser, where you're used to being loved on certain conditions, not unconditionally, over time, that kind of way of living allows you to limit yourself. I mean, you'll take what you can get. And you, even receiving sometimes is often as though it's a bad thing, that you're not supposed to, that, oh, no, thank you. It's as though someone gave you a gift. No, thank you. No, you shouldn't. Oh, you shouldn't have. And yes, you should have. That's the way we should be saying, right, in our head, and said, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, asking for help has always been an issue. Gosh, even, you know, I just the other day, I was so overwhelmed with work and my kids, and I've had the kids for several days in a row, which has broken up my work schedule. And I was so overwhelmed. And I heard your voice, Helen, in my head saying, ask your husband for help, see what he says. And so I did. And he was like, oh, okay, yes, of course I will help you. And I was like, wow, that actually works. So you were talking about the blind spot. Mm-hmm. What's that have to do with receiving?
Okay, so I want to say something quickly, if you don't mind, about what you said about even your husband. I want to remind people that, so, and I'm sure you saw it when your husband, when you asked him for help and he said, I would love to.
Yeah.
So we know how we feel when we give to someone and they are able to receive it. It makes us feel good.
Yes.
When you don't receive from someone, you're denying them that feeling. You're denying them the opportunity to feel that feel good of what that you get when you genuinely support someone and gift to them. So, just want.
But that's and let me just add that that's with someone who is I asked for help from someone who loves me and he's a healthy individual.
Oh, yes.
But when you've been used to surrounding yourself with toxic, selfish people, you have been taught of, ugh, do I really have to help you? Or, ugh, can't you do it yourself? Yeah. Or, you know, I don't you see I'm busy? And you get stuck in that place and you can't get out of it until, so it's very hard. And that's where I've been. Right.
Yeah. It can make you believe that you actually don't deserve to be helped, or that you can form the idea or the belief that people don't really want to help, you know? And so, we call that frying someone in somebody else's fat. Right.
Yes.
So, yes, I get
that. So true. I love that.
I get that. But if you continually attract that, then you have to say to yourself, this is where the 100% responsibility, I believe in, comes in, right?
Yes.
You have to say to yourself, wait a minute, why is that acceptable to me? You know, and again, it's the, you know, same, if you keep going to this particular source for help and there's no help available there, if you keep going back to that source, that's like the definition of insanity. You keep, it's like trying to get water out of a dry well. Mm-hmm. There's no help there. Go somewhere else. Tweak something. What we were saying earlier. Do something different, right? Mm-hmm. When you know that you deserve to help and that it's okay. But sometimes you have to relearn that, right? That it's okay to ask for help. And sometimes what set you up for that in the first place is somewhere earlier you learned it wasn't okay to ask for help. But anyway, that's a whole nother show. So the blind spot is that everybody has one, first of all. Okay. It's the equivalent of like what a blind spot is in a car. You know, you're driving, you have your rearview mirror and you have your side mirrors, but some cars have a spot that not even all those mirrors pick up.
Right.
That's your blind spot. And so if something is in that blind spot, you won't see it. It's the things that you cannot see. And you can't change it if you can't see it.
So then how do you see it?
You get help.
Right.
You get help. So there are certain things that, I mean, I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty self-aware, as are you, right?
Yes.
And what I've learned in this journey is that there are certain things, and we live in a society, by the way, that really encourages us to be independent and to, and the, you know, to be the DIY, you know, I was a big do-it-yourselfer.
Definitely. Right? Me too.
And we develop the defense mechanisms, of course, that when we get disappointed, when we expect people to support us and they don't, and then we learn to rely on ourselves even more because we learn that people will let you down, right?
Yes. And I speak from experience in that department.
Exactly. But at the same time, we're like, we don't really want to be doing it all ourselves. It doesn't feel good. So there's a sadness under it all, right? Mm-hmm. And a wanting and a desiring. We all need help. We all need help. We're not meant to live alone and to exist alone. And yet we can, when we are truly connected with ourselves and our source, we know that we're never alone. Even when we are physically by ourselves, we are never alone.
Yes.
And that our source of help and support is not only from humans.
Right.
I can't emphasize that enough, because there are times when you'll have a really great support network of friends and family. And have you ever noticed sometimes you're like needing to reach someone, you need some support, and you call and nobody's available.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I learned that those are the times when God was saying, lean on me, talk to me, mm-hmm. ask me. And whether you call it God, universe, I don't care. This is not a religious thing.
Yes. Well, and I wanted to, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because earlier in the show, we were talking about when we're trying and trying and trying, and just like I was doing all the wrong things with this course, and I just was resisting it and pushing it, and I was fighting. I was having a complete battle with myself. And I remember, like I do with all other issues now, but that was a specific moment where I remember asking God for guidance of, hey, I don't know what I need to do, but I'm willing to receive the message now. I'm done with my temper tantrum. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to hear. And, you know, it's not like you're going to get an answer right back, but I do think it comes in the form of thoughts at your most quiet time when you're in the shower. How many times do you have amazing thoughts in the shower? Because you're in a soothing environment.
Yeah, and mine comes a lot, too, when I'm walking in nature. Like I go for a walk by the lake near my house. Yeah.
There's not a lot of distraction. So I think that if you don't know what it is that you're doing, if you are stuck, and yes, obviously get help, but sometimes, like you said, if you're not getting that help from humans, just say, I'm willing. I use these words, I am willing to receive whatever it is you've been trying to tell me for the past few months. I'm sorry I haven't been listening. I am willing to receive it now. And I'm always amazed. Like, I feel as though whatever postal service I have with me in the universe, it's always about 2 days. I always get it in about 2 days. And then it suddenly feels good. Like whatever the solution is no longer difficult. And it's become fun.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you are in your blind spot, how do you know you're in it? Is it really that constant failure? Is that what it is?
Well, I think it's just feeling constantly like you're trying everything you know, right? And you're just not getting anywhere. Right. So then there's something that you're not seeing that might be the humbug in the system. Right. It might be the pebble in your shoe. So asking for help either from someone else, sometimes somebody else may have a different perspective. You ever call somebody and they go, well, did you think of this? And you go, oh, duh. No, I haven't.
So
right?
True. Yeah.
So be open to a different perspective, because we can only see what's in front of us, and we can't see the things in our blind spot. So if you're struggling anywhere, you know, just there's something there. There's something in your blind spot. If you're struggling and not getting anywhere.
Yeah, I think the art of peace, or the art of a peaceful person, or the peaceful warrior, that's a book out there. It's just being constantly peaceful. I mean, we're always going to get things thrown our way. But I think if you can really master it, I wonder if you ever truly master it, but you get better and better at it every day, mm-hmm. is when you are in the stuck place and you're struggling, you do ask that question, what's my blind spot? Mm-hmm. What am I not seeing here? Yes. I'm willing to receive. I'm willing to see it now. And you may not see it at that moment, but you will. And so that's where the kind of abundance I've always find flows to me right after I've discovered that.
Yes. And the other thing I think is, too, is just really standing in your truth and honoring wherever you are. Because sometimes we want, we know we want to be peaceful, but we're angry. Right. And so just giving ourselves permission to be angry there, you know, there are tools and techniques where you don't have to take out your anger on anyone else, including yourself, but you can release. It's just energy. Emotions are energy in motion. They need to flow. So sometimes when we judge them as inappropriate, or, you know, the timing is bad, so we can't really release it, or, you know, then we tend to stuff it and store it. But it just needs to be expressed. It just needs to be honored. And then right behind that, sometimes that's what's blocking, you know, the solution, right? So if we just release that, if we just release that energy, you can do it by exercising. You can go in your car and scream. There are a million ways to release it, but just honor it without judging it. And then the inspiration comes right behind it.
Really quick before we end the show, or about a minute or so, you have something going on and you call it emotion code. Is that, if you want, talk about that and what the service you're offering. It sounds so cool.
Okay, cool. So the emotion code is, it's a form of energy and healing that literally helps you to get rid of your emotional baggage from the past. And we all have what we call trapped emotions, right? And they're just harmful emotional energies from negative past events. And trapped emotions can cause depression, they can cause anxiety, they can cause dis-ease, like illness, literally. They can block you from love and happiness and make you feel disconnected from others. And it is, they're just made of energy, just like the rest of the body. They can cause physical pain too, right? So releasing these trapped emotions makes conditions right for your body to heal. It makes it easier for you to achieve your goals. It makes it easier for you to find love again and connect. And so there's a process that we do, and help people to identify that and then to release it, which is really, really cool.
Awesome. Well, everyone, thank you for joining me and Helen for this really awesome episode today. Helen, thank you so much. If anyone is interested in that kind of work, which I highly recommend, I have been a client of Helen's for a long time. You can find her at helenmcmillan.com, and the spelling will be indicated in the show notes. Everyone, thank you so much. Have a fantastic week, and I will see you next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Start Over, Find Happiness with Lindsay Ellison. Join Lindsay every week for guidance and inspiration on how to navigate your uncertain relationships. Ready for personalized coaching from Lindsay? Go to lindsayellison.com and